Hello, and welcome to episode one of The Masked Parent. Real stories from a really bad parent. That's me. I originally didn't want this podcast to be masked. I thought it would be more helpful to people for someone to stand up and be brave and to talk about the parts of parenting that most people don't talk about. But unfortunately, the statute of limitations has not run out on some of the incidents that I would be discussing, which would be bad for my kids if anybody ever decided to try and take these stories and use them to prosecute my children and place them in jail. So, I'm masked. I'm going to be changing some of the details of some of the stories I tell to make it harder for me to be identified and therefore my kids to be identified. And so I obviously won't be telling you my real name, but since you need to call me something, I think in your mind while I'm telling these stories, we're going to use the very imaginative name of Jane Doe. Episode one is about a stolen jacket. But before we get started, if you don't know this already, I am essentially a single mom, a single white mom, raising two black sons named Percy and Reginald. I have a full-time job that I'm pretty good at, and little to no social life. So the story of the stolen jacket really begins with the story of a different stolen item. Stolen pair of AirPods, which are, if you don't know what those are, they're wireless headphones made by Apple, so they're called AirPods. The story starts with me standing in my kitchen, and it must have been a weekend or an evening. I was at home and in my kitchen, and a woman calls who is the mom of another child in my younger son's class year. And we're acquaintances. I know her somewhat. And she calls me and she says, I wanted to talk to you because my son, we'll call him Kevin, my son bought a pair of AirPods from your son. And, I just wanted to make sure that was okay with you. And I said, well, I don't love that, but they are his. They're his to do what he wants with. And she's like, what color are they? This might have been a little smoother on her part, but they were white. I had given him a pair of white AirPods for Christmas. And which, in fact, it's actually the second pair of AirPods I'd ever given him, because in our family, music is right up there with shelter and food as one of the necessities of life. And we shell out the money for the good headphones. And if your headphones are broken, that's cause for an emergency run to Target to get it taken care of. So I tell her, yeah, I got him a pair of white AirPods for Christmas, and I can already feel there's sort of this undertone, but she at least comes out and says it. She's like, well, okay, good, because I had been worried because another kid in the grade apparently had a pair of AirPods stolen from him, and I had been worried that these were that my son had basically bought stolen goods, that he bought these AirPods. And I'm like, well, I that is news to me. I didn't know that anybody had stolen the AirPods, but Reginald certainly has a pair of white AirPods. They are his to sell if he so chooses. And she's like, okay, good. And she hangs up with me. And it wasn't that great of a conversation. I mean, she basically was calling to see if my son had sold stolen goods, I guess. And yeah. And so I ask my kid about this, and he's like, yeah, I sold my AirPods. You gave them to me. I can sell them if I want. And I said, well, why would you do that though? I mean, like, they're nice. And also that's a little bit upsetting to me because I gave them to you as a Christmas present. And he says this whole like, well, I have another pair of AirPods that I got from somewhere else. And I'm like, well, where, what do you mean you got them from somewhere else? Where did you get them? Right. And now I'm like a little bit stressed out And he's like, well, somebody gave them to me because they were like kind of broken, except for they're like not actually broken or something like this. He gave me, okay, straight up, if you're listening to this right now, you're like, wow, that is a load of shit. Right? But at the time, one, my kid had never stolen anything before, right? Like ever, like that I knew of. And nobody had ever accused him of anything, and he certainly never been caught stealing anything. And he's my kid. Like, it just didn't even occur to me that, why would you do this? Why, you know, you don't need to steal anybody's AirPods. You don't need to steal headphones, because I'll freaking buy you headphones. Like, it just seemed, like, also just utterly illogical to me that he would steal anything, because especially something so easy to get in our house. So I believe him. Like, I don't even press him that hard. I'm a shitty parent. I mean, I don't want to know. I mean, and I'm not super suspicious. Like, you know, okay. All right. Now, I first hear about the stolen jacket from a phone call not long after this headphone incident. I get called at work by the principal, and he calls to ask me about a stolen jacket that has gone missing during a, like, some kind of sporting practice. And it had been, I guess, in the locker room, and had gone missing from the locker room. It's apparently a very nice jacket, very expensive. And he tells me that who's the victim. The victim is the kid of a really nice family that I really like, that, like, pretty much everyone really likes, but for good reason, because they're just really genuine good people. That I've always personally liked. And, you know, he tells me, you know, the mom just wants this jacket. But I mean, the subtext is he thinks my kid's stolen this jacket, right? And I feel the subtext, and I'm insulted by it, right? My subtext is I'm insulted by your accusation. But, you know, he tells me, oh, you know, they just want the jacket back. They don't care who took it or why. They just, as long as they get it back, they don't care. And it's, you know, they don't want to have to shell out the money for a new one. It was really expensive. Apparently, I think he brought up too that my son had been around outside the gym with some other boys or something like that before the practice. And he also said, you know, I have cameras in the lobby, and I should have seen whoever took it, but somehow I just don't have any footage inside of the gym. At the time, I didn't know why he told me that. I maybe have a theory now, but my response is, well, I don't see why he would know anything about this. I'm insulted by your accusations. I don't know why you think when something is stolen, you immediately think it was my kid. My kid is not the source of every bad action inside the high school. And I don't think I think it's the next call where I sort of semi-imply maybe he's a racist. really not my best moment. So I finished the first call with the principal with something like, well, I'll ask Reginald about it tonight when I get home, but I don't think he's going to be able to shed any light on it. So, you know, good luck. You know, it's your problem. Okay, so I get home, I ask my kid about it, much the same way he was about the headphones. He's like, what? You know, I don't know. You know, I don't, well, he kind of sort of makes it seem like I think he stole everything, right? Because now, you know, I'm asking him about a second stolen item. Okay. And so I call the principal back, not that day, the next day, I think. And I tell him, well, you know, my kid doesn't know anything about it. I maybe also imply that he's just being a complete dick by assuming my kid did it. And, you know, why would he even think this? Right? Okay, so I assume this is the end of it. Maybe a day, a couple days later, the principal calls me back. And he says, you know, I'm just really trying to get this jacket back for this mom. And, you know, I start to get pissed. I mean, again, right? Re-pissed, double pissed. Because I feel like I'm basically just being harassed now, you know, based on the assumption that my child is responsible for all bad acts that happened at the high school. And I think this I think this is where I sort of maybe called him a racist. It might be this sort of second call that we did. And, you know, both of my kids had gone through this high school, and this was my younger son. And for probably the first time since I had known the principal, he became truly emotionally upset, which is not something I had seen before. And I could tell from his reaction that he absolutely was insulted, truly insulted, not fake insulting, not pretending to be insulted. He was truly hurt. So I think the call ended pretty quickly after that. Fade into call from the detective at the police department of my town. And this is the story that the detective calls me, and this is, I don't think I meet with him. I think this is on the phone. And he basically tells me, you know, we're going to be charging your kid with receiving stolen goods. I think that's what he says. And I'm like, what? And he said, the AirPods that your son sold Kevin Corver, we'll call him Kevin Corver, were stolen. And I said, I don't understand. He has his own AirPods. Like, I don't. And he said, we have the serial numbers. The serial numbers between the AirPods and the stolen AirPods match. So the pair of AirPods that your son sold Kevin were stolen. And I was like, oh. And then he tells me the story of how this all got discovered. The same mom that had called me hung up with me and then got the number somehow of the people whose kid had had his AirPods stolen. And she called them and she said, what color were the stolen AirPods? And they said, white. She said, well, the ones my kid bought are white. And I wonder if these are the same. And they were like, well, how, you know, there's not really any way to know. And she said, well, do you still have the packaging from when you bought them? Because apparently they had just bought these AirPods. She still had the packaging. And this is all through the detective telling me this. And then they were like, oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. And then they find the box, and the box has the serial number on it. And they compare the serial number on the box to the serial number on the AirPods that my son sold to Kevin. And they match. Now, I've actually never gone back and looked at a pair of AirPods to, like, confirm that they actually have a visible serial number on them somewhere. I mean, I'm assuming that the detective wasn't lying to me, but God knows, maybe he was. Who knows? Maybe this is all ruse to get my kid to admit it. But it worked on me, anyway, to convince me, because I bought the whole story at the time. And I hang up with him. And I think I call my kid. My kid has a lawyer already for other issues. I call my kid's lawyer and I tell him, this is happening. And I, you know, agree to pay him more money. And he agrees to take the case. And he's going to be on it. And I talk to my son. And I'm like, so you basically stole these AirPods. They just told me that it's like a match. And he says, okay, well, I don't know where they came from. I actually got them from someone else, is what he tells me. And I'm like, you're just full of shit, dude. Like, you're clearly just lying. Did you take these AirPods? And he's like, no, I got them from someone, but I don't want to say who, and I don't care. I'll just be in trouble for it, and I whatever. Like, he admits to them, but he doesn't admit to stealing them. And I don't even care. And to be honest, you know, my lawyer is like, well, at least they're only charging you with, like, selling stolen goods or something like that. So, or possession of stolen goods. So they're not even going for the theft part. They're just going for the stolen goods thing. And, you know, we'll deal with it. Okay. So all this happens. And I can't remember where my son is. My son is out. And I don't know what grips me, but I was just like, my kid is just lying. He's just lying. And so I go to his room and I decide to search it. And this is no easy task. My kid's a bit of a hoarder, and he hoards clothes. And so, you know, for every birthday, every holiday, when he has extra money, he buys clothes, he asks for clothes, and he just has clothes he never wears. Like, he just hoards clothes, including jackets upon jackets upon jackets, by the way. I'm like, he had so many nice jackets. Because I realized at some point when they were younger that my sons wouldn't wear, say, for winter, they wouldn't wear an ugly coat that they didn't really like. If it was cold, they'd rather go jacketless and make me freeze by watching them freeze. But that if I bought them like a brand name, really nice jacket, they would actually wear a jacket when they went out. So they had nice jackets. So I searched my kid's room. And stuffed between his bed and the wall, I pull out the jacket that had been described to me by the principal. So it is now clear to me that my son has stolen this jacket. And so I'm just sitting here with a stolen jacket. And I'm also sitting here with the realization that my son is a thief and a liar. And I don't know what to do. Like, he doesn't even need this crap that he stole. Like, he literally has like oceans of the things that he needs. He has plenty of jackets and he can have AirPods anytime he wants them. So why did he do this? Why did he take these things? And right, and so immediately, as soon as I found that jacket, by the way, I mean, I absolutely knew that he didn't get the AirPods from somebody. He stole them. He took them. So I wait for him to get home. And then I go crazy. I show him the jacket. He tries to give me some bullshit. I don't accept the bullshit. I tell him I know he's absolutely lying. And he all needs to fucking stop. Like, this is like, you're caught over and over again in lies. What the hell did you do? And he basically tells me the story of walking through locker rooms and just rifling through stuff and taking stuff. I asked him, why did you steal from like the nicest family in our town? Why? And he said, I didn't even know whose jacket it was. I just took it. I said, you don't even need a jacket. Like, you don't need these things. And he said, I don't know. I wasn't thinking. I just did it. I just did it. And I was like, well, what door did you leave from? If the principal didn't see you leave with the stuff. And he said, I don't know how that's possible. Because I literally walked right out the front door with it. So he should have seen me on the cameras. I think, I can't remember the exact chain of events. I talked to the principal again, and I'm not sure what we're going to do about the stolen jacket, but I definitely don't want my kid going to prison, right? I don't want him stealing jackets, but I don't think prison makes anyone better. So he calls me. He asks about the jacket again. At this point, I know my son has the stolen jacket and stole the jacket. But I sort of play dumb and God knows how convincing I am. And I say, well, you know, I'm going to have him ask around and see if there's any, he knows anybody who has heard about this. And I'm going to see if, you know, we can hear about what might have happened to this jacket. So I sort of promise helpfulness. I feel like the principal actually even knew at this point that I knew, but I don't know. You feel at some point, sometimes you feel transparent, I think, but like that none of your ruses are working. Okay. So in trying to retrace these events, I went back and I looked through my old texts and emails to see if I had anything from that time period. And I found that I had an old set of texts between me and my son's lawyer. And in sort of looking through those, it helped me kind of reconstruct events. And so I realized that after the detective called and said that they were going to be charging my son with receiving stolen goods or whatever for the AirPods, I must have been in pretty constant conversations with his lawyer about dealing with that. And then I must have brought up the worry about some stolen jacket that the principal was asking me about. Because I found the text where I that I sent him, and it said, "The jacket is in my house. How can I return it safely?" And his response is, "I'm not sure there is a safe way, but you must return it somehow." And then I say, "Reginald suggested sneaking it into school. I think he might get caught doing it, though." And then his lawyer says, "I really cannot be involved." So that's all he would put down in trackable, traceable electronic media. But then we called each other pretty much a couple minutes later. And on the call, his lawyer says, "You can't have stolen goods at your house. Like, that's horrible. You need to get them out of your house." And I say, "Well, you know, what do I do?" And he says, "I can't tell you what to do. I can only tell you that you really can't have them in your house." I said, "Well, are you saying, what, destroy them? Destroy the jacket? Because I don't want to do that, right?" And he's like, no, don't destroy the jacket. You can't destroy the jacket." I said that this family that he stole from is like the nicest family in town. You know, if Reginald didn't have like pending court cases against him and now a new receiving stolen goods charge, like if I didn't have to worry about that, I would literally just walk up to their house and say, "I am so sorry. Here's the jacket back. I'm so embarrassed." You know, I would just handle this, right? And he says, I really strongly recommend against that. That could be dangerous." I said, "But how? Because it won't be stolen goods if I return it, if it's like handed to them." And he's like, I really have to advise against that. He's like, "You know, I can't tell you what to do and I'm not giving you advice, but I just, that might not be a safe option for him." And then I say, "Well, you know, what about Reginald sneaking into school and putting it in lost and found," which is what his idea was. He's like, I really can't be involved. I really can't be involved." Basically, it's clear to me that every choice is a bad choice, and he's going to give me zero advice about what to do. So, I have a stolen jacket from a wonderful family, and there's no unrisky way to return it without potentially putting my son in jeopardy. So I don't know what to do. I literally don't know what to do. The easiest thing is to stuff the jacket into the bottom of a trash bag and like take it to a dumpster somewhere, right? And throw it away. That's the easiest thing. That's the safest thing to do for my son. But like, God, then I'm helping with stealing. Like, I can't do it. So I hatch a plan. I drive past the house of the nice people whose jacket my son has stolen. It doesn't appear to me that they have cameras. They might, and I just might not see them. So my son and I decide to do reverse crime. In the middle of the night, we get in the car. We make a pass to make sure there's no other cars and other people. And we drive up quickly to their house. He runs out and puts the jacket inside of a like a bag, puts it on their porch, and he runs back to the car and we speed away. So it's like a drive-by for depositing the stolen jacket to return it. And I don't even run this. I don't even tell the lawyer what we're going to do because I'm sure he would tell me it's a horrible idea. And, you know, later I'm like, God, what if they had cameras? Like, the worst part of this whole experience is really this idea, this sense that, like, you're not fooling anyone. And everyone knows what a pathetic mess you are, right? Like, what a bad parent you are. And also just what a crazy hot mess you are. So we returned the jacket in the middle of the night, and we never heard anything about it. But the principal stopped calling me. So, and So that was the end of the stolen jacket. Although pretty much every time I ever saw the mom of the nice family again, I felt the need to avoid her because I was just so humiliated, and I felt sure she knew that it had been my son that took the jacket. And I really could never face her again. You know, someday I feel I'd love to call her up and be like, did you know it was me? I'm super sorry. All right. So now we've reached the reflections portion of the program, where after kind of reliving this stuff, I make a few observations that maybe weren't clear to me at the time, right? So the reflections from today's episode are, after listening back, you know, through my own history, one, the first thing that struck me really was that when I was a kid, I had been poor, really poor. Like, you know, my family fell below the poverty line, and I got free lunch at school. I had like two pairs of pants through most of my childhood that I just wore, you know, alternately, one this day, the other one the next day, then back to the first one. And, you know, listening to myself talk about like how easily like I buy my kids headphones whenever they want, they can have headphones. And, oh, and you know, they have oceans of jackets. It's a little embarrassing. And I think, like, you know, my 17-year-old self, if she heard this, she would just want to punch me right in the face. Yeah. And, you know, the main lesson there is, wow, you really do get used to having nice stuff. And you really do. People say you don't forget where you're from, but you do a little bit. My second reflection is, you know, to this day, I hate Kevin's mom, the woman who played Nancy fucking Drew, to like do all this work to figure out that the AirPods are stolen, and then like went to the police or whatever. She's like a busybody. Like, I know, like, my kid stole something, and that's horrible, right? And it's great that the kid who gotten stolen from got his AirPods back. I'm glad about that. But like, why did you go to the police? Like, that's a part I never got. Like, if I had discovered all this, I would have gone, showed the proof to the parents, and gave them an opportunity to make it right. Because that's what I would have done. That's what I did with a jacket, right? And so, you know, and even how it all did turn out, once I learned all this stuff, I made Reginald give Kevin back the money that he had gotten for the stolen AirPods. And like, the law won't make you do that, because if you buy stolen goods, you're just out that money. And frankly, if the cops hadn't been called, and if I then didn't have to worry about my son going to jail and having to defend against these charges, I would have made my son go and apologize to the kid whose AirPods he had stolen. And I probably would have made him like pay some kind of restitution. But once the cops were brought in and I was just trying to keep him out of jail, it got super hard for me to do what should be the right things to do in that situation. And so I've kind of always really blamed Kevin's mom for just being, God, just kind of a douchebag. Yeah. And especially, you know, I feel especially strongly about it because she was on the list of, when we were preparing for court, when my son was being prosecuted for the AirPods thing, her name was on the list of witnesses. And I just remember thinking, God, what a bitch trying to put my kid in prison. Like, if everything was reversed, like, there's no way I would have done that to her kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, putting a kid in prison is just not. Okay. My last reflection is number three. Looking back, I feel that the principal actually did have footage. I think that the principal literally had camera footage of my son stealing the jacket. And he knew the whole time. And that's why he kept calling me. But he was really doing me the solid of like letting me handle it without going to the cops and giving them the freaking tape. And I feel like that's what he brought it up. He sort of brought it up to say, like, I know. Like, I know, dude. Just get it taken care of. Get the jacket back. So looking back, I feel like he knew. And he had evidence. And he let us handle it. And for that, I'm super, super grateful. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Have a great week.